to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 6th, the Feast of the Epiphany.
Can you stand and tell us who you are and where you come from? Thank you very much. And we had another royal personage here. Ah, right next to you. And where are you from? Very good. We have King Moses, I guess. That's great. Well, it's wonderful to be amongst so much royalty. And the reason that we have all assembled, and I want to say it's wonderful to see not only kings, we've got queens, we've got princes, and a whole bunch of princesses. It's wonderful to see you all. It's because if you look very carefully at the Epiphany story, you will notice, through a careful reading, how many kings are mentioned. Three? Four? We don't get a number. So we thought, why not have some fun, and we will all be wise people, wise guys maybe could be, from the East. We also don't know for sure that they were kings. One of the reasons the Bible story gets associated with kings is because of the prophecies that we heard in our Old Testament lesson and our psalm. I love Epiphany for its rich imagery and symbolism, and I think it's got so much to teach us today about God's purpose and plan, God's wonderful dream for all of humanity and the created order. These wise men from the East, who were they? Well, we met a couple of them over there, but from readings that I've done, it seems very likely that they were ancient scientists. And ancient science was really astrology. This was the idea that came from Babylon and Egypt, that everything that happened on earth could be understood and predicted by a careful look at the heavens above, at the stars and the constellations. Modern astrology, I gotta say, is a little wacky, okay? But ancient astrology, this was considered cutting-edge science. And these scientists looked into the heavens and they had mapped out in the stars the different constellations that corresponded to human kingdoms, the kingdoms that they knew on earth, Babylon and Egypt and Judah and Assyria. They could tell by looking at the stars what was going to happen on earth. And so these wise men, these magi, these astrologers, these scientists, looked up in the heavens and they saw something amazing. This star, whatever it was it a supernova? We don't know, but they saw something. And when they consulted their maps, they realized that this birth of a king, this omen, this symbol of a king, was corresponding to Judea? Where is Judea? So they went on this trip and they found the kingdom of Judea, and they went right to the royal palace, as you would, to find out where the birth of the king was happening. And they met a very different kind of king in Herod. You know, this is a story of many kings. We have the three kings, or however many kings there were on their camels coming to Judea. And we had the baby Jesus, the King of Kings, whose birth had been foretold. But in the middle of all this was crafty old King Herod. And King Herod was the kind of earthly king that unfortunately has been all too familiar in human history. The kind of leader who was really all about preserving his own position and wealth and power and privilege. And so when he heard the prophecy of the birth of the Messiah, of the King of Kings, this new king, did he feel joy? No. King Herod felt only dread, suspicion, and fear. I love that Matthew's description that all Jerusalem was frightened with him. I don't think so. I think it was mostly Herod, because he could hear the footsteps of his own loss of position. And Herod's response was truly terrifying. His response to the birth of Jesus was to send his soldiers to the very place that the wise men were going to kill every male child under the age of 2, to wipe out this threat. That has been our experience as human beings, often with those in power, that they are not really after this vision of wonderful abundance for all, but instead preserving their own privilege. That was the kind of king that Herod was. Fortunately, the wise men were warned in a dream and did not report back to Herod, but went home by another way. When the wise men came to the stable, when they came to Bethlehem to see this new king, they were overwhelmed with joy because they could see the fulfillment of what they had seen so long before in the heavens. This good news, and it is good news in so many ways. The Epiphany story tells us that this birth of Jesus was not just for his own family, it was not just for his own tribe, not just for the glory of the people of Nazareth or Bethlehem or Judea. It was good news for the whole earth. We see that in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he talks about the mystery of God, these eternal purposes, that the good news of God's salvation would be for all people, for all nations. That's what Gentiles means. It means the nations. Everybody would come under the reign of this new king. A king not there to preserve his own power and privilege, but a king for the needy, for the poor, for the welfare of all people and all nations. This fulfillment that we see in Paul's letter comes symbolically right at the beginning, at the birth, when these magi come. By tradition, if you look carefully at the figures, they're often depicted as being from Asia, from Africa, and from Arabia. In other words, from all the known nations of the world. Not people who were God-fearing Jews, but those who were beyond the pale of Jewish faith, coming to faith in Jesus by another way. Another way pointed to them in the heavens. This birth of Jesus was good news reflected in God's creation in the stars above. It was for all nations and all peoples, and it continues to be good news for all of us. This king that we worship, that we come to honor from our own ways with our tiaras and robes and our regular street clothes, this king is about the salvation of the whole world. And how are we going to pay him homage? Do we have gold and frankincense and myrrh? Those symbolic gifts of the Magi, gold for his royalty, frankincense for his priesthood, and myrrh for his humanity. No. We bring our offerings of money. We bring offerings of bread and wine, which God transforms into Christ's presence for us. But most of all, we bring today and always ourselves, our souls, and our bodies. Our energy, our dreams, our labor, our love, our relationships, our brokenness, our hopes, our lives, we lay before this infant king. We ask that God take those gifts, ourselves, and transform them for the good of the entire world, to bring peace and justice and hope and love. This story, this beautiful ancient story of Epiphany, is happening right now for those of us who follow this infant king, this Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of the whole world, the whole universe. May we have the grace in this new year, this new Epiphany, to live lives that are truly pleasing to God, to wear our tiaras, especially the light-up ones, with love and grace and gratitude to the God who loved us enough to share Jesus.